Well, good afternoon.
Hey, Rob, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
Good,
we're
good.
Doing well, thank you.
We're all hanging in. I had gotten back from my trip to the Holy Land, and I ended up getting sick, and so I just got back in the office on Monday. But other than that, nobody else has gotten what I've gotten. That's the good news.
That's good. Well, welcome home, and I hope it was a wonderful trip. You weren't sick the whole time.
No, I wasn't sick at all there. I got sick when I got back, so it worked out really well while we were there. But and we really have not done nothing while we were away. We Yvette and Madeline took the time of my being out of here to focus on some stuff that we went through in our first session with you. If you'd just take a second, Madeline, would you just share, I mean, again, what we did so that Rob can see that we're not useless?
Rob, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks, Madeline.
Yvette and I went through the book of clients, well, book of households that we have, and we kind of sorted them by their revenue, and we calculated, you know, the percentage of our book that makes up, you know, the 80% of our revenue type of situation. And we did that for kind of all the financial advisor numbers together, and then we kind of separated it out for the Jack-specific clients and the Yvette-specific clients as well.
Okay.
And more. And then she did more beyond that. So go ahead and talk about what you learned.
Well, I know we talked about how, generally speaking, the top 80% of your revenue the top 20 clients make up a lot of your revenue. So we just found that ours is not like that. it looks like, you know, 80% of our revenue comes from 34%, you know, the 34% of our book is what it looks like, top down.
Okay.
Now, is that good or not good? We were surprised with that number.
Yeah, I'd have to look at it a little closer, but typically that's a little flatter business. Meaning it's more difficult to get to a really small number of clients. It's harder to get to the 70 clients per FA.
Yep.
You know, 70 to 100 when you're a flatter book. Meaning you're more dependent on lots of clients than you are dependent on few, 70 clients. So the question is, you know, if you cut it at 100, let's say, each, 200 clients, what does that represent in terms of your business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can we functionally get to 70 or 100 clients? Or, you know, is it going to take too big a whack out of the business? My guess is, even though it's 34%, that's still well within our guidelines of what we're trying to accomplish. We're still good. If you that 34%, you know, 34% of 450, is that what we're looking at?
It's like,
hold on.
Yeah, around about 450.
Yep.
And how many clients is that then? Can you do the math? I just don't have a calculator in front of me.
I know I've looked at it before. I think it's 600 plus.
Yeah.
600?
Plus 650 or something.
It's a lot.
40.
And we know it.
Well, 34% of 450 is what number?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what you meant. Do the math. Hold on. Let me get my calculator. 450 times 0.34,
153. That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that's not bad. So you can do it with 75 clients each and capture 80%. You may want to capture 90%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would take you to closer to, you know, 85 clients or 90 clients. So you're not in bad shape.
Okay.
So that's not bad. What else did you find, Adeline?
I'm gonna let Madeline.
Yeah, so Madeline, do you have the 90% number?
Yeah, 90% is 48% of the book.
Okay.
So it added about 15%.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you hear that?
So 90% equals
almost 50% of the book. A little under.
Okay. 48%.
Mm-hmm.
And 48%, half of the book is 225 is
210.
Half of the book. Am I right? 225 or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, sir. Right. Uh huh.
Okay. So that's too many.
Yep.
But no matter
that's your issue. There's your when you go from 80 to 90%, you kill yourself with that 10%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where your time is going there. You're going from 153 clients to 225 clients each. That's right. You're going to 225 clients, which would be 110, 15 or so, right? 117.
Yeah.
Each. So it's not terrible, but you could knock that 17 off, no problem, and still you're going to be in good shape, I think. So that's what you need to get to. You got to get to 200 clients. You're capturing 90% of the book, and I bet you that last 25 clients is not a big deal. So if you got rid of, if you kept 100 clients each, you'd still capture 90% of your business.
And you know, Rob, this is not wrestling at all with you, because you're the expert. That's why we got you on the other line.
Right.
And you've seen it yourself, and you've helped teams get to it. But I'll tell you, the three of us look at these numbers, and it's just like, oh, my God, how are we going to do this? And it's not from lack of commitment or fear, but it's okay. We've got to be as smart about doing this as we were building the business in the first place.
Yep.
And is that, I mean, do you see that coming from other teams that you work with?
Yeah, this is the hardest thing that I teach. I mean, everyone else in my industry, in coaching, will not deal with this issue.
Mm-hmm.
They will tell you that you need to segment your book. You need to spend more time with your best clients, but they will never tell you to get rid of any clients.
Yeah.
They won't deal with it. They'll procrastinate. They'll do anything except tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
They'll say make them all fee based services, and then they'll pay you. The key thing to remember is they do not value your time. All they're looking for is revenues.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is interested in more, do more, work harder, give me more.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't blame them. That's your firm, everybody, right? Give me more.
Yeah.
And you're saying, I have no more to give. I have no more time. I want to go to the promised land. I want to go and visit countries and do things, right? I want to visit the home of Christianity. I want to do some things that are meaningful in my life. I need balance.
Uh-huh.
I cannot be just a production machine for you. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so that's what you need to you guys have got to come together and say, enough is enough. We cannot be surgeons and handle the ER, okay?
Because we're triage every single day.
And we're and you're a surgeon. You're smart. You do great work. You do financial planning for people. You help them. You can't do that while you're dealing with, you know, hay fevers and asthma attacks and shotgun wounds and things like that.
We got it. And it's, like I said, it's just looking around and saying, oh my gosh, this just looks like it's just going to be almost impossible. And it's not going to be. Yeah, I know that. And I'm not trying to be the naysayer here. I've got two wonderful ladies who are going to hold me accountable, and I'm not going to stop and not do this. You're going to hold us accountable. But at the same time, it's just like, how do we take the, almost like, how do we take that first bite?
Well, I think we know how we're going to take the first bite.
Yeah.
You know, we know now, you know, with these great lists that Madeline's put together, we're literally going to sit down and start putting people into columns from the bottom. We got plenty on the bottom to work on.
Yeah.
You know, and start saying.
We'll take a line. Here's the best way to do it. If you work from the bottom, you're going to take all day. Okay? It's going to drive you crazy. Take a line and take the top production to the bottom and draw a line at the top 200.
Okay, say that again, please. I'm having a hard time visualizing.
So you got 450 clients in a list from your top producer to your bottom. Go down to number 200 and draw a line.
Okay.
And then you do is you look above the line and say, you know what? I hate this person.
Okay.
I hate him. If I never talk to this person again, I'd be a happier person.
Okay.
They go. Goodbye. Okay. Uh-huh. And then you look below the line and you say, okay, I cannot do without this person.
Okay.
This person is critical to my future in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do. And everybody else, you find a home for them.
We also had a meeting this morning with our complex manager who worked with Jerry and Gerald Salmon up in Columbia. Kristen Santos. Is it Santos?
No, sorry.
Sario. Jeez, no, my complex manager. She's just Kristen to me.
Yeah.
She's got a last name, but I don't know what it is. And Kristen, and we were telling her what we're doing, and she has some ways that she helped with people before to for us. You know, we've had these little barriers, Rob, about sending clients away. We couldn't do it because it was a trust, or we couldn't do, what was the red flag? One of the red...
Just annuities.
Yeah, couldn't do annuities. All these other kind of, you can't
simple
do...
Simple IRAs.
You can't do. Well, it turns out you can. And she's got, as she said, I can help remove the roadblocks. And hearing that encouragement, I mean, that tells us that we've had an opportunity to do this before and just hadn't done it right. And that can take care of a lot of people that way. You know, that was encouraging information.
Yeah, where you had to be the custodian for a non-productive account is what.
Yeah, exactly. Forced to do it.
Forced, yes. Mm-hmm. Forced service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, that it's so nice now because managers and leaders understand that, you know, now they value your time.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
instead of just wanting you to do more, they say, you know what? If you have fewer clients, everybody wins. Because we'll reassign them to either other people that will make good use of them, or we'll put them in the center and take care of it and lift a burden off of you. So all of those annuities and things that produce zero for you, getting them off of your back is a huge productivity opportunity for them.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
see?
Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
they don't have to hire any. The more productive they make you, that means they don't have to hire somebody. If I can help you double your business, think about that's like recruiting a producer that big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're all in favor of this.
We've got to ask you a question. And be, this is in the category of being totally honest.
Sure.
We're seeing that we know what we need to do,
mm-hmm.
and we feel like we just need some time right now to do what you've already told us to do before we start moving on to the next lessons. Are we going to be lessons ahead? I'm sorry?
I know how you feel. This is how everybody. This is exactly how everybody feels. You know, it's like.
So we've been sitting around here and saying, hey, is it possible, Rob, without offending you and anybody else, if we can pump the brakes just for a little while and do what we know we now need to do and then come back to you and report, okay, this is what we've done. We're down to whatever it happens to be. And that way we're – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Here's the problem. If I don't keep the throttle down on you, you will take a break.
Yeah.
You're human. You're human beings. You
yeah.
know, you need the stress of knowing we're going to meet in a week in order to get this stuff done. Otherwise, the job fills the time.
Well,
we
can meet in a week and report on a lot of progress, yeah. but maybe not go to week 3 of the video
yeah.
yet.
It's totally understanding where you're coming from too, and it's we need the accountability, but it's that, oh my gosh, we just now today found out some things we can do, and we're going to be talking to him a week from today after viewing a video, and probably haven't had a chance to do as much of the deep dive as we wanted to. So I'm hearing you say, no, I'm not going to let you off the hook. But we're asking you, is there a way to alter some of this so that we're still held accountable, but we're held accountable at a pace that's doable and not where you just throw your hands up in the air, where we would end up throwing, and we're not going to do that. I mean, this is not a threat.
No.
I'm not going to play games
no,
like
no,
that.
I understand. This is, remember I told you when we started that we would get into negotiations?
Yes, I do. All right, you negotiate first. What's your suggestion?
It's fun. The reality is we gave you 4 weeks to get your book in shape. And people say, that's enough time. I can do that in a month. You know, that's plenty of time. And then you get into it, and you're just mentally, it takes time for your brain to wrap around the idea of what we're doing. So you take 4 weeks to get ready, the segment, and then you take another 4 weeks to the segment, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the end of I've already been through organization, and I'm into acquisition. And
okay.
You're still in segmentation, see? And this is exactly what some teams have done. I won't say which ones, but they very similar.
Go ahead.
And one of the things that they did, which was, you know, made it even more painful, is that they had these long conversations with the clients that they were reassigning instead of moving on quickly to get them to their new home. And so when they got into it, they said, oh, we're dying here. You know, we're having 2-hour conversation with people we're firing. I said, no. Don't do that. Get on the phone, tell them what is happening, give them your speech, and then reassign them immediately, even while they're still on the phone. And introduce them to their new FA right then. Bang. Okay. And then that, and all of a sudden it was, you know, this is great. We did this and it works great and the people are fine. And so I will tell you that once you get into it, it's easier, but you need to get a script on what you're going to say. Okay.
Yep.
And you need to pick up the phone and you need to get going. Because it's never going to get any easier. It's just going to get, you're going to get better at it. And then it's going to be over. So how long do you want to be under anesthesia in surgery?
Yvette said a month.
Good sleep, right? I want a good sleep.
Oh, that's hilarious. No, and everything you're saying is 100% correct, and we know it. And, you know, you might remember from our first meeting, our first telephone call, that we knew our problem was not,
right.
We felt our problem was not in acquisitions, but it was in exactly what we're going through right now.
Right.
We've got a pretty good pipeline of acquisitions, but we, of course, we want to get even better at that. But it's okay. We need to do this. We need to get a few of these under our belt and feel like we're actually making progress and not discovering or discussing how to go about doing it. And with putting pressure on you to talk to us each Wednesday and us to talk to you and have something, quote, new to talk about, it feels like, uh-oh, can we do this, you know? So it's good to hear that other people have the same problem.
And, you know, I'm going to be, let me see, what, the 220. Let's just look at 220, whether or not 220 is going to work out. That's what I've got scheduled on my calendar, but I've got some things going on, so maybe 220 would be a good break.
And 228 we already put down as a break.
Yeah, 228 we got a break. So if we can go 220, give you the break. We got a break on 228 because Yvette's going to be gone. And then pick up 36. That gives us 2.5 weeks to...
And we'll have half the book.
Yeah, we'll have half the book done by then. You'll be proud of us. You'll be proud of us.
Well, if you'll promise you'll work as if I'm there, then I will do that. We can postpone the
220.
The 220. Let's bag that and then you get 2 weeks off to get this done, and then we'll start with. We'll start, pick up on chapter 4.
Okay.
Okay? Is that okay?
Are you okay with this now? Are you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm good. Look, I want you happy, and I want you to do well.
I know.
Yeah.
We don't want to just feel like failures. I mean, we want to not be a failure either.
No, I know. It's fine. It's great. And it's look, we've gone around and around and around about this. Let me just send this response now that it's canceled. Okay, so you're off. We've talked. I mean, we went from 12 weeks of intense training. Well, we first, not that you care, but we started out with having like 3 teams on here. So it was a real classroom. And so you either kept up or you were bagged.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was people would drop out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that. So we went to individual coaching, which we like because it works.
Mm-hmm.
You don't drop out. We can customize it for you and so forth. So we had 12 weeks, and then we said 12 weeks isn't enough. By the time we get done with 12 weeks, they're just really getting going, you know, in this program. So then we took 9 more sessions, 1 a month. So we had a full year to coach you because things are going to come up, and you're going to want to spend more time on certain things and other things, and so we customized it that way. Each one is in the book. You know, it's a real deal.
Right,
but,
right.
But now you have another advantage, okay? In the acquisition piece, which is which is seven separate strategies for growing, is now out in print. So it isn't just the workbook, but you actually, or the videos or the audios or webinars. I just finished producing the Supernova Multiplier, which is available through us or through Amazon or through Kindle. And it is comprehensive about what did I learn, you know, in the last 12 years of coaching Supernova after I wrote the first book, The Supernova Advisor. So you have that advantage. You can read it and you can learn it and read it over and over, and then you'll be able to hear it in audio and all that stuff. So that's a big, huge advantage for you guys that wasn't available before. And plus, you know, each chapter has got an explanation of the strategy, niche marketing, or whatever we're covering. Because you'll notice we introduce acquisition as we go. We don't just say we're going to focus on segmentation. You know, we talked about niche marketing and the last chapter. And so this gives you then testimonials from each of from FAs, not just, you know, me talking about them, but the actual interviews with them.
Right, right.
On how they work, exactly how it works, not kind of how it works. So it tells you exactly. So you get a lot more content now when you get those books. And I'd be happy to send you an autographed copy if you want one or whatever, but get those. And in the next couple of weeks, you know, while you're can't go to sleep, read that. It'll definitely put you to sleep. No, it's pretty good. I think it's really, really fun. It was fun to write. I think you'll like it, and it'll be helpful to you.
That's good.
So, okay. Now, do you know what you're going to say to clients that you're firing? You know what you're going to say to clients you're going to keep. Do you know what you're going to say to clients you're firing?
Well, we work. I'm sorry. I've just got this cough. I can't.
I think we need at least two different scripts.
There yep.
Might be the script of the ones that are going to the CAC, you know, when the call center, and then
yep.
the ones that are actually, go, you know, that we hope to reassign to another FA. So we may need a couple of variations of it.
Yeah, you just need a very slight variation. So it's the same script whether you're keeping the client or reassigning the client. It sounds like, you know, that sounds crazy, right? Why would you use the same script? One is good news, one is bad news. Now, you get it in your head that you're really helping these people. You're not hurting them. They're going to be better off because they're going to get the full attention of somebody versus, and they understand that you guys are surgeons. You know, they understand if they need you in the future, you'll be there. Meaning, if they have the capital and they have the needs that somebody like you provides, then you're available. Okay? But at this stage, when you have a $400,000 rollover, you know, and that's it. That's all you're going to ever have. They don't really need you, right? You're spending too much money, you know, on a process that can be handled in a more efficient and simpler way. So the idea is that, I mean, look at everybody has, you know, nurse practitioners, right? Nurses, aides, everybody else that can do everything except for what the doctor does. So you guys are not only doctors, but you're surgeons. And clearly many other people can help them on the way to getting to you. But if they inherit $5 million, they're going to need you. You're available. Okay? So that's the mentality you got to have going into this. This is a concierge service that people, you know, that have enough money are willing to pay for.
Do you have
So the idea.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but But I'm just, you know, I agree with what you said, but I'm just also thinking of some of the personal situations, like, you know, the people, you know, like your friends that actually were the only ones that talked to you when you were trying
right.
to get into this business. And they don't meet them, you know, they don't meet the criteria, you know, they, you know, and so it's like having, that's kind of almost like, you know, I don't know if we can use the same script on those, you know.
Well, let's just go through it and just think for a second. All right. So what I would say was, you know.
Good morning. Yvette, this is Rob Knapp. Hi, how are you? Good, great, okay.
Yvette, I want to share with you a situation that's come up that we think is very important. We have been blessed to have a very successful practice. The good news is that the practice has grown and has grown dramatically. The challenge for us has been that we have been concerned about maintaining our level of service. So what we did was we hired a consultant to come in and look at our practice. And what we discovered through the consultant was that we frankly just simply had too many clients. So what we've done is we've committed ourselves to giving a concierge-like service to each and every one of our clients. So every client will get multi-generational planning with full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, and 2 of them in person. We've also instituted a rapid response team that will provide 1-hour response and 24-hour resolution to any and all problems. How does that sound? And they're going to say, wow, that sounds amazing. How are you going to be able to do that? And the way we're going to be able to do it is simply by limiting the number of clients that each of us work with. And then now the panic sets in, okay? and they go, am I one of them? And you go, you'll be pleased to know that you are one of them. And that now this does a number of different things for you. At this point, they are so grateful. They'll do anything for you. Okay? So if you haven't had control of a client, or they have refused to be fee-based, or they've decided that financial planning isn't for them, or whatever it is that you want them to do, this is the time. Okay?
Okay.
So this is the time to tell them how the business is going to be running in the future. And you have the advantage of saying, you know, we had the luxury of being able to do this in the past, but we just can't anymore. We just don't have the time. So we need to do this, okay? So, you know, we can't have clients that don't have a financial plan. It doesn't work. We're diagnosing your problem without really knowing what it is. And so we need a financial plan because, let's say in the market we just hit, a downturn. How do we know whether or not you are going to retire or you're going to live, be able to manage your money throughout your lifetime, or it's going to run out? We need to know those. So we need to do a financial plan. Okay, fine, I'll do it. And you can charge them for it. Then they'll pay it, okay? So,
you know, if you wanted to have somebody do some estate planning and they have refused, now's the time. You know, we're doing estate plan. Everybody needs an estate plan. Everybody needs to go through the process. And therefore, we're going to set up some appointments for you and blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is you want done, that's the time to do it.
And now, same conversation exactly, except,
no, I'm sorry that our minimum fee that we charge is going to be, you know, $5,000.
and at this point you're paying $2,000, and we just don't think that's fair for you. So do you? And they say, no, no, that's good. Okay. So what we're going to do is assign you to this organization, you know, where we have person is going to call you and whatever the service level is they're going to give you, and they're going to be happy and they're great and da-da-da. Or I've assigned you to John Smith. He's fabulous. I've worked with him for years. He's a true professional. I've told him about us, our relationship, and I've told him to treat you like family. And he says, and the client says, well, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And you simply say, if you're not satisfied with John, then I will personally find someone else that is a better fit for you. Okay, so you're not abandoning them. You're finding someone who is more suitable for them.
I'm back now. I'm sorry. I had to leave with my coughing attack, but I'm back. And that's
okay.
Now. I mean,
and it started even, and this is great because Rob kind of talked us through this script. But, you know, I brought up the situation, you know, that my earliest clients were like are very good friends, and they really have very little money. Some of them do have some money, but some of them have very little money. And at that point, you know, I was taking anybody. And so, that this is just going to be, you know, how to handle that, you know.
Rob, what happens if, and believe it or not, we've actually done some of this in the past, and so we have a little bit of experience with what comments come back. But what do you say to the client, and I'm thinking about Greg Pennekamp, when I tried to get rid of him, and he basically begged us to keep him. And I'm not trying to be cute about, but what do you say when you've got that persistent one on the other end? You just keep pushing at it?
No,
or
he just gave, well,
oh,
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't know if you've heard this, and maybe Rob will say, no, this is what I said. He says, since we have to limit, you know, we're going to start charging whatever, like each client's going to be paying
at
least $5,000 a year.
Okay.
But right now you're paying
$200. I heard that, that, but I didn't take it in.
So your minimum, what would your minimum fee now be? I have $1.3 million as your absolute minimum and $3 million as your target. Is $13,000 your minimum fee?
Hold on a minute. We're getting an answer.
I think that might be a little hard. You know, one of the things that makes it a little complicated that we have to back things some things out. We still do in many cases what you would call like commission based annuities that tend to pay out very well the first year. You know, when you sell them.
Sure.
But then,
yep.
Of course, then that drops down. So you might have some clients that might show revenue of, you know, $6,000-$7,000 extra over other things, but then the next year that's dropping off.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so what is your return on assets?
We can get that for you.
It's on there somewhere. It is on there.
Well, I had you doing $2.6 million on $325 million of assets. Is that correct?
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
It might be a little
about
bit 60, more assets, but yeah.
About 66% fee-based. So, you know, if you were doing 3.25, that'd be 1%. So it's not that far off. It's probably 80 basis points. So let's just say 80 basis points on your minimum of $1.3 million would be about a $10,000 fee.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. All right.
And then your target when you're looking for new business is a fee is $30,000.
Okay,
so that's what you simply say. You know, our minimum has to be $10,000 now, and you're paying, you know, $2,500. I don't think you want to pay $10,000, do you?
Yeah, I mean that puts a whole new perspective and a whole new spin on it. I just never thought of it that way.
Well, you're not doing them. They're not doing you any favor by you're doing them the favor, right?
Yep. Right.
But
right.
They don't know that. See, they don't know that you're
right.
doing them a favor. They think
right.
they still think they're doing you a favor.
Right.
Right? With their $500 fee.
Yeah, right.
Okay? And they call, six times a year.
Yeah. And that's why this whole thing you said earlier about we got to start thinking a little differently than we have in the past.
You have to if you value what you do and who
yeah.
you are and balance in your life and your family. And your time at home and everything else. If you don't value that, then fine. Work forever and kill yourself. Work nights and weekends. Because here's what I say to you, Yvette. If you want to do charity work, then come in on Saturday and do it.
I know. I mean, there's quite a few people that I have turned down by saying,
I can't do it.
You know, we can't really take on me. I know already. There's that can't take on new clients, but I'm happy to answer any questions you have and guide you as much as I can.
Right.
Basically, like saying, like in this phone conversation, like right now, what's your problem?
Right.
You know, and I'll
okay.
give
better than that is, I work with cases that are really more complicated than yours and require an enormous amount of time. What I have, though, is the perfect person for you. And then reassign them. Prospects.
That's good.
You've got to do that. You don't want to turn people down. You want to be the gatekeeper. You want to be a networker. One of the things I teach you, and I hope you do already and will learn more from me, is that one of your most important jobs is to take care of people and to find them whatever it is that they need. Whether they need a surgeon, whether they need a lawyer because their child is in trouble, or whatever it is that they need, you're the guy they call. And you network throughout the community and connect people. You're the connector. So you probably never say no again. You just say no for me. My job is to find the person for you and everything, and this is the right person for you. And this is why they work with people exactly like you.
Yeah. Yep.
And they won't charge you what I have to charge you.
Yep.
No.
Well, the business has really changed when 38 years ago, and it was any warm body was exactly who we wanted. I never thought I'd get to the point of actually turning people down and getting rid of people.
For me, it was 10
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago. That
yeah.
Well,
it makes much sense the way you say it. It's just now embracing it, believing it, and incorporating it in part of what we do every single day.
And here's the other thing. Here's another thought for you. I don't know if you're familiar with concierge physicians, but if you are, you know that they charge, minimum fee.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
$5,000, $7,500, $10,000, whatever it is. And people say to me, well, what do I do? Somebody wants to negotiate. And I say, well, what do you think the doctor, the concierge physician would say if you went to him and said, you charge $5,000 for your service. I want to pay $2,500. What do you think he'd say?
No.
He'd say goodbye.
Fair to my other clients.
Yeah, to my patients.
I've got I'm full right now. I've got 100. Or I've got 200. That's it. I can't take on anybody else. But my partner can, but he's 5,000 or 10,000, whatever it is. That's it. That's our fee. That's what we charge. and we give you all these things for it, but we will not take less than $5,000, okay? And that's the brain you've got to have in this game. Give them everything, but charge them a fair fee.
Yep.
And that's the 1242 and rapid response and financial planning and load the boat. And remember, 1242 is the minimum that we give. Somebody gives you $40,000, $50,000, you can do more.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do less. And when you start to do 1242, you're going to find, whoops, I don't want 100 clients. This is too much work. I want 70 clients because that's much better.
Yeah.
See, when more is better, when the game of more is better, then we want 1,000 clients and get a little fee from all of them. But in the game of my time is valuable, you want fewer clients and charge them a lot of money.
We're there.
Okay.
Yvette just said, no, we're not. But what I mean is, I think we're getting it. It's just a matter of incorporating.
Yvette, you can make a couple of exceptions. But those exceptions are the ones that will not value you. Okay? They won't value you the way you should be valued. Okay? You're doing them a favor, and they don't know it. So you think I'm doing my friend a great service. Well, you really, you know, you're not when you don't feel like they're paying you, because then you feel like, oh, I have to call them. I don't want to call them. Are you going to give one of those little accounts?
If it's your friend, you're going to call them anyway.
Yeah, right.
But are you going to give them? Here's the rule. Everybody gets 1242. 12 calls, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person. You're going to do that for a client that's not paying?
No.
No.
Then you can't keep them, you see?
Yeah.
That's the brain thing you got to do. You got to say, I'm going to give this person extraordinary. And guess what? We're not measured in terms of customer satisfaction by our best client, but by our worst client.
Yep.
Think about it, right?
Yep. No, you're right.
Everybody knows 300 people, and they say, what kind of service do you get from Jack and Yvette and Madeline? Oh, it's great. How often do they call you? Well, they don't actually call me. I call them whenever I need something. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So you have no brand in that community, and they know 300 people.
Okay, Rob.
So think of everything that you're doing in terms of the service model as a marketing effort. Everything you do is marketing, creating your brand. So you do 1242, you do the folders, you do the agenda, you do the executive summary, because you want to turn that client into an advocate for you, into an ambassador for you. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. You're going to have some time. You're going to go through your clients. Here's an exercise I want you to do. I want you to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 clients. 5 columns.
5
first
columns?
Columns. 3, 5 columns. And,
five.
And the
first columns, okay.
Columns. The first column is the name of the client. Okay. And then I want you to determine if it's a customer, a client, an advocate,
jeez,
an ambassador,
or a potential niche for you to develop. So let me explain what they are. So a customer is somebody that buys things from you. It's a broker. You're a broker to them. They buy stocks and bonds, and maybe they keep an account, but you don't have control, and they don't listen to you, and it's not fee based. And they won't do a financial plan. A client does all the above. They'll do a financial plan, they listen to you, they pay you a fee, and they're a great client. You like them, they like you, they're a client. An advocate is a center of influence. They like you, they trust you, and they will refer to you without you asking.
Do they have to also be a client?
In this case, they do, because we're only focusing on clients right now. So what we're doing is we want everybody to move from the left-hand client column to the right-hand column. Okay. Ambassadors are people that consistently give you a new client every year, someone that actually becomes a client. We're going to create an ambassadors club of people that give you new introductions that fit your minimums, and they do it every year. The ambassadors club. And then the last column is one for our internal marketing, is determining whether or not, where did they come from, the client? Where did they originate? What do they have in common? How did you get them? We're going to use that for our niche marketing. We want to see what niches we naturally have. So we want to write down where every one of them came from. Introduction from such and such. We know them from the club. You know, our kids went to school together. They're all, you know, They work at the same company. They're all at the same hospital. They're whatever they are. Okay. So we're going to use this. This is going to be an ongoing tool that you're going to use to develop your clients into your best sales force.
Got it.
This is a really fun exercise, and you'll like it, and you'll see who's really important to you and who you have control over and who you don't and so forth. It also is very helpful when you are going through this process to determine, you know, who do you want to keep, you know? Because remember, there were 11 different screens that we originally used to determine who we keep. Mm-hmm. So profitability, as well as whether they're a regular source of introductions, are they a center of influence, et cetera. We'll develop outside centers of influence, professionals and others that aren't clients, but in this one we want to only use clients, okay? Because in reality, if we do this right and we learn how to get clients to become more advocates and ambassadors for us, we don't need to prospect any other way. We're going to give you six other strategies for acquiring business, but this is the only one you actually need.
Okay.
Okay? So this will keep you busy.
Yeah, it sure will. Things you're going to do.
I was very worried you weren't going to be busy enough.
You don't want us to get bored.
Yeah. Come in the office and sleep, read the journal all day long and take a nap, like the old days.
Right. I had a guy that used to do that.
I mean, Yeah, I go back so far, I remember that was typically how it was. I mean, they'd go home at lunch and come back and leave at the market closed at 4 and made a perfectly good living doing that. But gee whiz, things change.
Things have changed, yes. We're running a business now.
Okay. Rob, thank you a lot for everything.
This is fun. You guys are great, and we'll have a lot of fun. We'll get through this part, and then we'll rock and roll from here on. So.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Work hard. See you guys. Bye-bye.
We promise you we will. Okay. Bye-bye.
You will. I know. Bye-bye.